turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. Book of Matthew, chapter 17. I'm going to read the first 13 verses, very familiar verses. Matthew, chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come, and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already. They knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And we'll read verse 14 as well. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him. This, of course, is Matthew's account of the transfiguration of Christ. It's also recorded by Mark in Mark chapter 9, also recorded by Luke in Luke chapter 9. We see in verse 1, after 6 days, and that takes us back into chapter 16. And in chapter 16, Jesus asked the disciples in verse 13, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They replied there in verse 14. And then Jesus asked them a more personal question, a more searching question, But who do ye say that I am? Peter answered in verse 16. Then in verse 21, it says that Jesus began to reveal to the apostles his suffering, his death, his resurrection, and also he revealed the compulsion of his heart to go to Jerusalem and to suffer and to die. And what Jesus said was something very new to the apostles and their way of thinking. Peter, being the spokesman, I'm sure the others felt the same way, but Peter was the one who spoke up. And he rebuked Christ, and then we see that Christ rebuked him, and this was followed by a lesson concerning what is involved in true discipleship. And that lesson was given in light of the fact that troubling days were coming, difficult days were coming. Jesus would die, Jesus would suffer, Jesus would die. And so he reminds them, in light of those coming days, what it requires to be a true disciple. And then our text opens with the words, and after 6 days, That is, what we read here in Matthew 17 occurred 6 days after what we just saw in Matthew chapter 16. And in Matthew 16, Jesus told them very unexpected things, told them extraordinary things concerning himself. Again, he laid before them their duty as a disciple. But then we come here to verse 1, and we see Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John. These three, of course, seem to have a favored position with Christ. Christ often had special fellowship with Peter, James, and John. And here we see that he bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Verse 9, as they came down from the mountain. So in verse 1, we see them going up to the mountain. In verse 9, we see them coming down from the mountain. What transpired between those two things is recorded in verses 2 through verse 8. So they went up to the mountaintop. They came down from the mountaintop. And when they came down, verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, as soon as they came down, they were immediately faced with everyday life. They were immediately faced with a conflict. Now, what we're going to speak upon this evening, we've preached from this passage in the past. The subject is one that we preach all the time, and that is how we must meet with the Lord at the beginning of every day to prepare us for the day. And we see this illustrated here in our text. So we want to speak this evening on mountaintop experiences for everyday life experiences. And we'll take the trip up the mountain with Jesus, and then we want to come down from the mountain. But the bulk of the message will be spent on the top of the mountain. Again, if we get a hold, and some have, but for those who get a hold of the fact that you need to meet with the Lord every day, it'll change your life. It'll change the way you view life. It'll change the way you think. It'll change everything about you. A very important word in verse 1 is that last word, apart. Jesus took Peter, James, and John apart from the routines of life and brought them up to a mountain. So we want to look, first of all, at the top of this mountain. And what we read here is the actual experience of Peter, James, and John. It's an historical event. We don't want to just view it as a historical event. In this event of the Transfiguration, we're taught very valuable and very relevant spiritual lessons. There is a sense in which you and I are privileged and have the opportunity to experience the same. I mean, I realize that Jesus is not going to be literally transfigured before us. But we do have the privilege and opportunity to experience the same truths that are presented here. The first thing we want to notice is there was a special time, place, and purpose. In Luke's account, it states that Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. However, that was not his only purpose in going to the top of that mountain. In verse 1 of our text, we read that Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. That's a very special phrase, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. Mark chapter 9 and verse 2, Mark says, Jesus taketh with him. Think about that. Jesus taketh with him. What a wonderful blessing. Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John. And Luke says that he took Peter, James, and John. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three state this truth, that Jesus took Peter, James, and John. So what we see here is Peter, James, and John, they are with Jesus. They are apart. Jesus took them from the everyday routine, and he took them to himself. I believe that's our privilege also. The word taketh implies a deliberate choice that Jesus made concerning these three. That it says that Jesus took them, it means he made a deliberate choice to do so. He chose to take these three into this mountain. It also speaks of him associating with them in a special way. It was a special relationship. Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. No doubt, the Lord had a reason for doing so. No doubt he had a purpose for taking these three. But notice also in verse 1 of our text, and bringeth them. Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, and bringeth them up into a mountain, a high mountain, apart. Mark uses the word leadeth. Jesus led them. So we see that Jesus took, he brought, he led them. And this was with the purpose of doing them good. What all this teaches us is they were under his guiding influence. He taketh them, he bringeth them, he leadeth them. They are under the guiding influence of Christ. Notice again that word apart. So they are now apart with Jesus. Apart with Jesus. Separated from everything at the bottom of that mountain. They are apart from all of that, apart with Jesus. This is how we must begin our day. We are to begin our day under his guiding, under his influence, apart with him. We need to do that. We need to do that every day. Secondly, notice what happened when they were apart. We have the transfiguration. Again, in Luke's account, we read that Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. And as Jesus was praying, Luke records in Luke chapter 9 and verse 32, but Peter and they that were with him, that would be James and John, were heavy with sleep. So Jesus is praying. Peter, James, and John are sound asleep. They are heavy with sleep. Now while they were sleeping, Jesus was transfigured. Notice in keep a mark there and turn to the book of Luke chapter 9, verse 29. Luke 9, verse 29. And as he prayed, and while he was praying, they were sleeping, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. So it was while Jesus was praying that he was transfigured. It was while Jesus was praying that Moses and Elijah appeared. Moses, of course, the giver of the law. Elijah, the greatest of the prophets. And Moses and Elijah appeared and were talking with Christ. Peter, James, and John, they're asleep. Notice verse 30 and 31 of Luke 9. Behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory. They also appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, his exodus, which he would accomplish at Jerusalem. The very thing that Jesus talked to them about in Matthew chapter 16. So, while he was praying, he's transfigured. Moses and Elijah appear. Keep in mind, while all this is going on, Peter, James, and John were heavy asleep. Now notice, and this is what's most important, the experience of Peter, James, and John when they were apart with Jesus on this mountaintop. I believe what they experienced that day, apart with Jesus, serves as a valuable spiritual lesson concerning what you and I can and ought to experience every day. So I want to notice several things that they experienced. Keep in mind, they are apart with Jesus. We're first introduced and they're asleep. But notice verse 32 of Luke chapter 9. But Peter, they that were with him, were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, sometime while this was going on, this transfiguration, and this conversation with Moses and Elijah, Peter, James, and John woke up. Apart with Jesus, they were stirred. There they are, apart with Jesus, and they are stirred from slumber. They are aroused, and they become conscious. They become aware. Every day we need to get apart with Jesus in such a way that we will be stirred and aroused and made aware. This needs to happen every day. It is best to happen at the beginning of the day. Apart with Jesus, and being apart with Jesus, we are awakened. And then notice, secondly, they personally saw Jesus Christ in His glory. They awake, they see Jesus, but not the same way as before. They saw His glory. Luke 9, verse 32, they were awake, they saw His glory. Apart with Jesus, their eyes are opened, and they see the magnificence. They see the splendor. They see the beauty. They see the elegance of the person of Christ. Matthew and Mark both record that He was transfigured before them. In all actuality, this transfiguration, I don't believe, was a change into something new. But I believe what it was an uncovering of who He really was. It was an uncovering of His deity. In other words, He became on the outside what He was on the inside. In other words, they saw God. They saw God. How this took place is explained in There was an alteration in Luke 9, verse 29. The fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Matthew describes this in Matthew 17 and verse 2. And his face did shine as the sun. He couldn't continue to look at what they were seeing. Just like you and I cannot look into the sun. This is his glory. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. So God, in his majesty and his beauty, shone through the face of Jesus Christ. His face lit up with the glory of God. Matthew says again that his raiment was white as the light. Matthew 17 verse 2. Notice what Mark said in Mark chapter 9 verse 3. And his raiment became shining exceeding white as snow. And they saw all of this. The rays of God's magnificence, God's beauty, burst through the clothes of Jesus Christ. They saw his glory. In addition to this, Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah. We see that in Matthew 17 and verse 3. And then notice Peter's response back in Matthew 17. Again, they see and behold in verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. And oh, how right he is. Yes, it is good. It is good for us to be here. Do not be mistaken. It is good to be apart with Jesus. It's good for us to be here. It is good for us to be apart with Jesus, beholding his glory. And every day we need to get apart with Jesus and get a glimpse. That's all we can take right now. And get a glimpse of his glory every day. Notice also back in Matthew 17, they not only saw his glory, but they felt and experienced an overshadowing presence of God. Verse 5 says, while he yet spake, that is, while Peter was speaking what he was saying there in verse 4. And there are two beholds in verse 5. Behold, a bright cloud. That's something extraordinary. A bright cloud overshadowed or concealed them. Apart with Jesus, they experienced, and I believe they felt, a very special covering. They've seen his glory. They now feel a very special covering. Again, every day, we need to get apart with Jesus. In doing so, we need to feel. And we need to start our day this way. We need to feel his special overshadowing presence. So there they are. They're overshadowed by this cloud. They're under this cloud. And then notice what happened next. A voice, behold, another behold, a voice out of the cloud. I believe they had to be under that cloud to hear the voice. Many times you have to be under the overshadowing presence of God to hear what he has to say. That's why a lot of people say, well, the Lord hasn't told me. Well, no, you're not in a position to hear him. There are special places where you can hear God. And you certainly hear him when you're overshadowed with his presence. Out of that cloud, or within that cloud, there was a very clear, a very distinct, and powerful voice. The voice said, "This," referring to Jesus, "is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then there was instruction. "Hear ye him." Apart with Jesus, they heard God speak. They have no idea what's going on at the bottom of that mountain. They're not even concerned. They're on top of the mountain. They're apart with Jesus. They are enveloped in his presence. And they now hear his voice. And notice the effect that hearing the voice had upon them. Verse 6. "And when the disciples heard it," that's Peter, James, and John, "they fell on their face and were sore afraid." Again, every day, we need to get apart with Jesus and hear the power of God's voice. Hear the power of God's voice in such a way that we fall to the ground. That is a place of humble submission. When it says that they fell to the ground, they're now, or fell on their face, they're now in a position of humble submission. We need to get there every single day. How do we get there? Apart with Jesus. So there they are, their faces are to the ground. And notice what they experience next. They experience the touch of the Lord. Verse 7, "And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid." So now lying on the ground, their souls were aroused and they too were transformed. They were transformed by a touch of the Lord. Every day we need to get apart with Jesus and feel his arousing touch, his transforming touch. And then notice the next thing that happened. They were brought to the realization that Jesus is all. Notice verse 8. "And when they had lifted up their eyes as a result of his touch, as a result of his voice saying, Arise and be not afraid. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man." That is, Moses was gone. Elijah was gone. Save Jesus only. Save Jesus only. So when they looked up in response to his touch, in response to his voice, Moses, who represents the law, and Elijah, who represents the prophets, they're no longer there. Jesus only. Very important words. The only one they see is Jesus. And I believe now at this time he's again clothed in his humanity. Jesus only. The one who came to fulfill the law. The one who came to fulfill the words of the prophets. Jesus only. What does that mean? In light of the fact that Moses and Elijah are no longer there. It means that Jesus is more than the law. It means that Jesus is above all the prophets. What it means is Jesus is everything. He is more. Oh, what a way to begin a day. Realizing that Jesus is more. Realizing that Jesus is everything. We need to begin our day with that realization. How do we come to that realization? Getting apart. Again, very, very important word, apart. You say, well, I talk to the Lord. I do that on my way to work or when I'm driving the car. I'm sorry, but that's not getting apart. Your mind's distracted with a lot of things. I mean apart. I mean apart from everything else. Apart with Jesus. Apart with Jesus, there was an awakening. We too would experience the same thing. If we get apart with Jesus in the morning, we will be spiritually awakened. Apart with Jesus, there was a seeing of the glory of Christ. We can only get a glimpse. And oh, how wonderful to get a glimpse of His glory. And we get that glimpse when we're apart with Him. Apart with Jesus, there was a feeling of God's special overshadowing presence. Apart with Jesus, there was a personal hearing of the voice of God. Apart with Jesus, there was the feeling of the touch of Christ. There was also the realization that Jesus is above all. Oh, how we need some apart time with Jesus every single day. That brings us to them coming down from the mountain. Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. What he was saying, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's stay here. Lord, this is where I want to live. This is where I want to stay. But we must realize that it's needful to come down from the mountain. I believe every morning we ought to climb that mountain. Every morning we ought to get apart with Jesus. But we can't stay there all day. We have responsibilities. It's needful to go down from the mountaintop into the valley of service. But I want you to notice how they came down. They've been apart with Jesus. Now notice verse 9. And as they, Peter, James, and John, and Christ, came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them. Three important words. They, Jesus, them. What this teaches us, they've been up in the mountain. They've been apart with Jesus. And then Jesus didn't just say, now, you guys go down to the bottom of the mountain and do what you need to do today. That's not what he did. They went down the mountain with Jesus Christ. That's the point of getting apart with Jesus in the morning, and then going with Him through the day. This is what happened. Jesus came down the mountain with them. They did not come down from that mountain alone. But Jesus is with them. Again, he doesn't send us down the mountain. He comes down the mountain with us. And then notice, in closing, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, and then you can read on there, you see immediately, after coming down from the mountain, they are brought face to face with everyday life. They are brought face to face with a problem. We can take our apart with Jesus time, we're to take that into everyday life. That's why it's important to do it first thing. Because then we take that apart with Jesus time into our life. We can take the revelation of our apart with Jesus time into everyday life. You see, when you spend time apart with Jesus, things are revealed. There's a revelation, there's an unveiling. And whatever it is that's revealed, whatever it is that's unveiled in that time, we take that with us into our day. We can take what we learn in our part with Jesus time. You get a part with Jesus, and you'll learn something. You'll learn something. You'll learn something about yourself. You'll learn something about Him. But you'll learn something. To get a part with Jesus every single day is to sit at His feet and learn. And then whatever it is that we learn during that time, we're to take it into our everyday life. You see, it's so important that we have a part with Jesus time. It's so important that we get to that mountaintop. Apart from everything else, apart from all interruptions. You see, the problem today is people think they're so important and that the world can't do without them, that they're going to have a part with Jesus time, but they're going to bring their cell phone with them just in case if someone needs to get hold of them. That's pitiful. That is pitiful. That's not being apart. There you are, you're enjoying a wonderful time with Jesus, and your cell phone rings, and you look at it, and now you've got a decision to make. Here I am having a wonderful time with the Lord. Do I answer this call or continue on? It's already been interrupted. When I say apart with Jesus, that's what I mean. Apart. I hate to burst your bubble, but you're not that important. The world is not going to stop if you don't answer a phone call. Well, what if someone died? You're not going to change it. Apart with Jesus. Apart with Jesus. This is so important. Oh, that we would get a hold of this. That it would get a hold of us. I need a part-time with Jesus. I need to get a part, separate it with Him. And it is that time, alone with Jesus Christ, that enables us to face the day. It is that time we carry what we learn, we carry what we see in our apart time with Jesus, and that enables us to face the trials. You don't know what you're going to have to deal with in any given day. You don't know. But Jesus does. And if you get apart with Him, I guarantee you, He will give you what you're going to need for that day. He knows what you're going to need. You don't. We may think we do, but we don't. But it enables us to face the trials of the day. It enables us to face the distresses and the difficulties and the obstacles and all the battles and all the struggles and all the burdens and all the sorrows and all the heartaches. It enables us to face these things with strength, assurance, and confidence because we've spent time with Jesus. You cannot, there's nothing you can do to replace time apart with Jesus Christ. Nothing can replace that. It is of the utmost importance. And there are some of God's people who understand that. They understand that. And they spend some time apart with Jesus every day. And you know, even doing that, it's still difficult to deal with some of the things that you may have to deal with in a day. It's still difficult. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier. And it'll sure change the way you look at things when you spend time apart with Jesus. If you start your day with someone that you can hardly stand, they just get on your last nerve, they're vulgar, on and on we could go. You start your day with that, that'll pretty much ruin your day. It pretty much establishes your mindset for the day. What better way to spend to start a day with Jesus Christ? If you're not doing that, please start. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a drastic difference. And after you do it a while, at first you might have to, sadly, force yourself. But after you do it a while, you look forward to it. I've got this time scheduled. I've got an appointment with Jesus Christ first thing in the morning. What better way to start a day? There's no better way. And I'm telling you, eventually you got to come down from that mountaintop. Eventually you got to come down. I heard a man preach one time that if you ever come down from the mountaintop, you're backslidden. I totally disagree. That's not what this is teaching at all. The mountaintop prepares us for what's below. I'll tell you when you're backslidden is when you don't get to the mountaintop. When you ignore the mountaintop. And you try to go through the day on your own strength. You will fail. You will fail miserably. So God help us to get apart with Jesus Christ. And then whatever it is that we learn in that time with Jesus Christ, that we would take it with us, that we would take Him with us as we come down from the mountaintop and as we walk through the valley, as we walk through our day, He's walking with us. We've met Him in the morning, we've been with Him in the morning, and we're starting our day with Him. And we're not going to leave Him the entire day. Start your day with Christ. You can make an awful lot of mistakes and you can ruin your life. You say, well, I'll get to it noontime. You realize what can happen up until noontime? You realize what the devil can do? You've given the devil that much time, you realize what can happen? Why, by the time noon rolls around, you might not be in a condition to get alone with Jesus Christ. We need to start our day alone with Him. Brother Mark. Let's all stand, Brother Mark.